I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. On October 12th, President Trump dealt a double blow to the Affordable Care Act, the end of subsidies to health insurance companies, and approval of cheaper, skinny insurance plans. Today, we'll ask what this means for the quality and cost of health care through the ACA marketplace. Local experts explain the changes and offer advice to help you meet the December 15th deadline. Then, did you know there are nearly 90 district, charter, private, and parochial education choices in Kansas City, Missouri? We'll talk about the city school fair that can introduce you to the K through 12 options in your neighborhood. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. The Trump administration may be trying to dismantle Obamacare, but that hasn't swayed hundreds of thousands of Americans from enrolling for 2018. In fact, more than 600,000 people signed up for Obamacare in the first 4 days of open enrollment. That far outpaces last year's rate. The enrollment period only runs through December 15th this year. But how does a shorter enrollment period, drastic cuts in federal spending for advertising, and the president's executive order of October 12th change the quality and cost of health care under the ACA? What will people need to know to enroll this year? We're going to talk about that right now. Joining us are James Torres. He's an Affordable Care Act navigator with the Samuel U. Rogers Health Center. Jim, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Molly Moffitt is program manager for the Community Health Council of Wyandotte County. Molly, good to have you.
Hello.
Dr. Bridget McCandless is president, CEO of the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City, which, in the interest of full disclosure, we should point out, supports some of KCUR's health reporting. Bridget, good to have you back again.
Thank you, Steve.
And if our listeners have questions about this process of enrolling in the ACA, you can call us right now, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. So 600,000 people enrolled in Obamacare in the first 4 days of this year's enrollment period. That's way ahead of last year's pace. This comes despite the Trump administration's vow to repeal the law. How surprised are you, Bridget?
I'm surprised, but I'm mostly delighted. It's not just that so many people have enrolled, but in those 600,000 people, 23% of them were new enrollees. And, you know, one thing that I'm sure that the folks who are joining you today will talk about is it's complicated to enroll. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of questions. So I was really delighted that so many people were prepared early to be able to take advantage of this shortened enrollment period.
Molly, maybe they realize they don't have that much time. Is that what's sort of driving some of these numbers, you think?
Absolutely. We've had a lot of calls with people concerned about the timeline to get in and enroll.
Yeah.
So we have had a lot more appointments just
even
the first week.
How surprised were you by these early enrollment numbers being so high?
I was definitely surprised. But again, like Bridget was talking about, I am delighted because we've put a lot of effort into outreach and education within the community.
Yeah. Jim Torres, again, with Samuel, the Sam Rogers Clinic. What are you seeing at your clinic when it comes to these early enrollments, and what do you make of these early numbers?
Well, we're very pleased by the early numbers, and we're getting a lot of calls from patients and other consumers in the community who we've helped in the past. And so, and we're also going back and calling some of the ones we've enrolled in the past. And so we're keeping quite busy right now.
So you're actually being proactive, going out and seeking out people who might be interested in continuing to enroll or enrolling for the first time.
Absolutely. Our patients know we're there and we're there to help them. It's free in-person help. And word of mouth is a really good way of getting consumers to call and make an appointment.
Yeah.
We've helped some of these people for years enrolling.
You know, Molly, you're with the Community Health Council of Wyandotte County. Are you guys being proactive too, actually calling people to come enroll?
Oh, yes. We have a huge list of people that we've helped pretty much every year. And some of them are calling us. I have people calling my cell phone because we have those trusted relationships with people. And we try to call back every single person.
I'm wondering how much confusion you're seeing out there about, you know, whether the law even still exists, Molly.
Yes.
How much confusion is there?
Yeah. I've had quite a few calls with people just wondering if this is a thing. And even in our callbacks, people have said, now, wait a minute. I thought that that was gone. But people are generally pretty happy that they can still enroll.
Mm-hmm. Jim, people surprised to see it's still there?
I think so, to some degree. But, you know, folks, I think they have a pretty good way of kind of blocking out the noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, they trust us, they know us, they call us and they ask us, and we tell them what we know. And
yeah. Bridget, has the Trump administration helped end all this confusion, or has it only added to it? What are you sensing out there?
I think that they've been trying to make the ACA less successful. But in some ways, the increased attention that it's getting in the media and all of the discussion has actually raised awareness. And I think part of what you're seeing with this enrollment is people are aware that it's the time of year that it's happening, that it's shorter, and that they need to be engaged earlier. So in some ways, I think all of the conversation has helped enrollment.
That's interesting. Just the opposite of perhaps what the president himself has said, it's time to repeal this law. Get rid of it. Okay. I can only imagine, too, James, that people who have coverage under the Affordable Care Act are awfully anxious about whether they'll even have coverage in the months or years to come, given the uncertain future of it. Do you sense anxiety out there?
Yeah, there is definite anxiety out there, Steve. And we try and take that away as best we can. We try and separate the fact from fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I tell people it's best to call and make an appointment. You can call United Way 211 in the metro area, get connected with an assister like us. And
just
really,
dial 211 to get the process
tell
started.
Them you want to apply for marketplace insurance. They'll connect you. And really, a lot of times, it's so complicated that you can't really tell somebody in a quick conversation whether or not they're eligible or not. Mm-hmm. So they need to apply and find out for sure.
Is it too complicated?
Well, I think it's complicated to talk to somebody for maybe a minute or two and tell them, yes, you're eligible, or no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You may have an idea, but not until you actually sit down and start going through the application, income, family size, immigration, citizenship, all these things will impact and whether or not somebody is offered insurance through a job. All these things will impact eligibility.
We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. It's the annual enrollment period right now. If you have questions about this, maybe you're trying to enroll, we have a great panel in front of us. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. What are you seeing out there, Molly, when it comes to this, the anxiety of people wondering whether this law will be there in future years to provide the coverage that maybe they've come to count on here?
Yeah, there is definitely some anxiety. I always try to reassure people that, you know, if there is something that happens, we will at least try to contact you if we have your contact information. And, you know, try to listen to the facts mm-hmm. rather than the hype, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. And we are the first people to know. So if something comes up, you know, we're always a resource for people.
Yeah. And again, confusion reigns here, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The task of enrolling, is it tougher than ever, Jim? I mean, the enrollment period is shorter. There's less help available to answer questions. Maybe prices are higher in some cases. How much tougher is it?
You know, Steve, it's always been tough. The first year, the website didn't work. We weren't really skilled in our jobs because it was all brand new to everybody.
Yeah.
Now we know what we're doing. Our sisters are trained and licensed in Missouri. Molly's are trained in Kansas. We know how to navigate the website. We know the questions to ask in advance when we're talking to consumers. And so from that perspective, it's good. But I think the misinformation and the lack of awareness by some people that open enrollment only lasts from November 1st to December 15th. People don't know where to call for help. So the things like that hinder us. And then the price increases in the plans, that's a big thing that scares people. Maybe they've got a plan and they get a notice and they see the price increase and they think, maybe I can't afford this anymore.
Can you guys give us a sense, Molly, why don't you take this? What are people paying? What's the out-of-pocket cost for, I know it varies on the person, the circumstances, I get all that, but give us a range.
Yeah, actually, for folks who qualify for financial assistance, it's very affordable this year. We're seeing pretty low premiums and lower deductibles, depending on the amount of assistance that you qualify for. But it's the folks who fall above that income range that are going to be paying a lot more. Premiums have gone up, I don't even know how much, but for someone who doesn't get assistance, it's a lot. And deductibles are pretty high. We're seeing mm-hmm. like $5,000-$6,000 deductibles.
Are there key income benchmarks that might be worth mentioning here?
Yeah, for a single person, the income range is about $12,000 to about $48,000. Mm-hmm. And it goes up about $4,000 per person. So if you fall in that sweet spot, you're getting probably quite a bit of help.
So up to $48,000, mm-hmm. you're getting a lot of help. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, the prices go up.
Yes.
Okay. How about for families?
For families, it's the same situation. But, you know, if someone doesn't qualify for financial assistance, it could be, you know, over, you know, $1,000 for somebody to insure their family. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a family in the other day, and it was about $1,300 for a woman and her two kids.
Wow. Okay. So lots of things to think about here. Yeah. 816-235-2888 is the number we're talking about. How to get enrolled in the Affordable Care Act. Let's go to Jake from South Kansas City. Jake, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Just curious as to whether there's a fee that the providers pay to the navigators, you know, at the health center and through the county of Wyandotte, whether there's, you know, any kind of kickback or quid pro quo.
Yes. No, there is not, actually. We are funded through the different foundations. So,
okay.
Nope.
So nothing okay. there. I hope that helps,
okay.
Jake. Yeah.
Sure does. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's go to Richard from Olathe. Richard, our number here again, 816-235-2888. Richard, welcome to Up to Date.
Oh, thanks for having me on. And really, as soon as I heard this topic, I really got excited because this healthcare program, whosever name you want to put on the front of it, it is fabulous. And as a contractor, I hadn't had insurance for 15 years. And what I really want to get out there, the message is that the navigators are so fabulous, and they're in every health clinic. And any person can call that clinic and make an appointment and go in there, and the navigators will walk you through all of the websites and get you signed up, and it's really painless, and you should take advantage of this because it's a great program.
Well, Jim, it's a good day because you've just been called fabulous by one of our callers here. It's not a bad thing.
No, we like that. I think it is important to remember that, you know, assisters like Molly and myself and other organizations like SWOPE, Kansas City Care Clinic, we've got trained assisters. We don't work for the insurance companies. We basically work for the consumer for mm-hmm. free. We're not allowed to take any kind of reimbursement or compensation from the insurance plans, and we don't recommend insurance. We are prohibited from that. We just try and help the consumer figure out what type of insurance is best for them and their family.
So your salary is paid for by
federal grants.
Okay.
And foundations like the Healthcare Foundation of Kansas City and the REACH Foundation have provided with all our organizations with some support to,
you're an unbiased navigator here. You're just trying to help people get the best situation for themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to some calls. And Donna from Tonganoxie. Donna, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I have a question I've not really heard anyone answer clearly. And I'm wondering, for those folks that have been enrolled in the ACA in 2017 and received subsidies and have not received any type of a notice that their premiums are canceled or are going up, do people need to re-enroll every year?
Molly, you're nodding your head, yes.
Yes, they do. I highly recommend.
They do.
Yes. Come back because the amount you got in tax credits last year will change. It will go up. And there are new plans available in the marketplace. So we recommend every single person come back. Even if you get one of those letters that says you're being auto re-enrolled in a new plan, because you will get more assistance.
Okay. Are some people, though, getting letters that they are auto-enrolled?
Yes, quite a few people, actually.
Okay. So the purpose of re-enrolling would be to reinvestigate what's available and whether or not your subsidy may have changed.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Because better plans are available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
But you're not automatically deleted from the ACA if you don't go back into the website?
No. As long as you agreed to let them look at your taxes so that they can give you financial assistance right away, then you will be re-enrolled in a plan. But it, I mean, you'll be re-enrolled in a plan no matter what. It'll just be without financial assistance if you did that. But most people did, so that's probably getting a little too far into the weeds.
That's perfect. That absolutely tells me what
Great.
I need to know.
I hope that helped,
thank
Donna.
You for that clear answer. Yeah. It does very much. Thank you.
Dr. Bridget McCandless, I'm wondering, as you look at this system from a 10,000-foot view, are there enough navigators out there to help consumers, or do the calls get backlogged and people can't get the help they need, or does it not work that way?
It's actually amazing how well our partners have done in keeping trained navigators and assisters to be able to do this work. And that's really kind of hard because they have to keep them employed for a very short period of time and they have to have a lot of sophistication. But back to what Jim was saying earlier, you know, this isn't our first go around. So we've had some years to learn the questions, to build a system that works and to understand how best to meet the needs of the clients. So I would say that the assisters do a great job. The other is, you know, we've partnered with United Way, and through that two-on-one system, we've got sort of a centralized place that they can go and connect people to navigators who have openings. I am sure it is a very busy time at these organizations, but they've done a very nice job of managing it.
I want to repeat this again, this number, Bridget, that people can call 211 in the Kansas City Metro, and they can get connected to someone who can help them get enrolled here. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 211 is the magic number here. Okay. Jim from Overland Park, you're on up today, Jim.
Hi, Steve. Hey, my question was, as you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield pulled out of the individual market for, I guess, the Kansas City metro area. Anybody there tell me what companies are available? I'm just seeing a couple, Medica and something called Arm Brewster.
Am
I doing that wrong?
Some companies have dropped out. Do you want to take that, Molly?
Yeah. It's Medica and Sunflower this year. Those are the only two companies.
So that's all there is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I just want to be sure. I was
in Kansas.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
How many companies on the Missouri side, Jim?
It depends on the county involved, but there is Cigna Health Insurance and Ambetter Health from Home State, which is basically the counterpart to Sunflower on the Kansas side.
What is the dearth of companies, relatively speaking here, mean for choices, mean for prices? Can you tell as you look at the numbers and the options for people year after year that maybe the declining number of companies has an impact on that?
Well, we'd obviously like to see more health insurance companies participating in the marketplace, giving people more choices on hospitals, doctors, and networks and types of plans. But there are some good values out there from these two companies in our area. We hope that some stability can be found for the Affordable Care Act and for the marketplaces. And if that did, that would go a long way to reassuring insurers that they're going to be paid and that they can do this for the long term.
Bridget, what's the 101 healthcare version of why there are fewer companies participating in the Affordable Care Act right now?
You really have to look at the changes at the federal government. They have created quite a bit of market instability just because of the insecurity about whether those cost share reduction payments are coming through, whether they're going to take away the individual mandate. All of that uncertainty in the marketplace leads companies to have to make their own financial decisions. And the previous caller talked about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City pulling out. They have left the door open to come back into the marketplace if things at the federal government settle down. But right now, we are very lucky in our two states in that we have enough choice and enough plans that people can make a choice that suits their family and their health needs.
And some states don't even have that much?
You know, all the states are covered, and some of the companies actually stepped up to cover counties where there was no one offering. Mm-hmm. So right now, everybody has at least one choice. I think you can see by the number of people who enrolled in those first 4 days how much people value having the security of knowing that they have health insurance. I'm not saying that it covers all the costs or that there aren't some choices families have to make there, but people really do value the ability to have coverage, at least for high expense. And just a reminder that preventive services are covered first dollar. So while we talk about deductibles, those preventive services are covered immediately. And it's important to know that there are kind of different categories in there.
Getting enrolled in the Affordable Care Act is our topic. 816-235-2888 is our number here. Let's go to Shannon from Mission. Shannon, welcome.
Hi. Actually, just going back to what was just talked about, I kindly do not agree with the comment about families being secure, because what we're facing in Johnson County and Wyandotte County, at least, is that none of the plans offered for pediatric patients. So we can't go to Children's Mercy with the plans offered through Ambetter or Medica. We can't go to Overland Park Regional and the pediatric clinics, or their they have a pediatric ER and a pediatric wing of the hospital now. So do you guys think that this will push any changes for 2018, and the fact that people buying individual health care for their children can't use our two local pediatric hospitals and their specialists?
So it's, you know, narrow network and the participating providers, that's one of the difficulties with all insurance product, not just insurance product offered on the marketplace. And I know that people are struggling with having to change providers. That's part of the reason that coming back and looking at plans matters. What you've talked about is Children's Services, which has been severely limited in both of the coverage options that are out there. And I don't have a great answer for you. And some of the hospitals have chosen not to participate, and that's very disappointing, because that's a group of people who really could use their services.
Okay. All right, let's go to, I hope that helps, Joyce from Overland Park. Joyce, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I am a new-time enroller in this program.
Welcome.
Story short,
nice to have you.
Lost our health insurance. Mm-hmm. What I need, I am computer challenged, so I need to know if there is a number that I can call or someone that I can get to who can physically help me walk through the program.
Jim, you're nodding your head.
Sure. All you have to do is call 211 from any phone in the Kansas City metropolitan area. That'll connect you with the United Way, and they can connect you with a navigator or a certified application counselor in your community that will have appointments available, and they can guide you through the process.
Oh, thank you so much. I tried, was at the library, tried to get through, and just couldn't get it.
It can
thank
be a little
so
challenging, yeah.
Are there times of the day that might be a good time for Joyce to call, Jim?
Just during the day. I mean, we all have slightly different hours, but don't wait. Call now, because slots are filling up quickly, and we want to get as many people in as we can.
Okay.
Okay. Joyce, good luck.
Thank you so much.
We're pulling
get
for
on
you.
The phone and call that number. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
You bet.
I love the fact that you are doing this program.
Oh, good. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. Let's go to Richard from Liberty. Richard, you're on up today. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and how to get enrolled.
Thank you. I've seen a plan with EPO, and I'm wondering what that is and whether it would cover out-of-state accidents or illness outside of the Kansas City area.
Molly?
An EPO is like a mix between a PPO and an HMO. You have to use your networks. You cannot go out of network, but you do not need a referral to see a specialist.
So if I were in Texas, I would have coverage if it's in the network?
No, you would not. Only under an emergency situation would you have coverage.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Richard. Thank you. What's the first step people need to take to get enrolled? Jim, what would you point to?
I would say collect information on your family. You'll need everybody's Social Security number, date of birth.
All the basics here.
All the basics. And then pay stubs from anybody who works.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who is on your income tax return, your federal tax return, will be on your marketplace application. But if a child is already covered by Medicaid or CHIP or some other program, they can likely keep that. But you'll just do an application for those who need insurance.
Yeah. You know, Bridget, I'm still struck by this notion that advertising for getting enrolled in the ACA has been cut back, and yet we're seeing these higher numbers. Clearly, a lot of people are paying attention, as we've talked about here.
The foundation's been fortunate in partnering so that we've had local advertising, so we have picked up some of that slack. But I think, honestly, the media has been doing as much of the advertising as anyone else and probably has had a better reach in connecting with many, many people. And so our strategy has been a little bit of radio, some TV, and internet work, so trying to get across the gamut of people that we can through our advertising dollars.
Marcy from Leawood. Marcy, good morning.
Good morning. I think it's great what the people are doing in terms of helping people get enrolled, but I'm afraid we need to address the fact that there are lots of people over that 48,000 who are being very impacted by this. It's extremely expensive for not very good coverage, and you may have previously covered this, but there's very, very little care choice. Medica, for instance, I believe is only St. Luke's. No Children's Mercy, no KU Med, no Shawnee Mission, no St. Joe. That is the only choice.
What about
and
this?
Marcy,
thank you. Bridget, address this extremely expensive coverage for not very good treatment and care here.
You know, that problem is real. People are having some of the plans that she's talking about have really high deductibles, and so people are finding that they are paying out of pocket for those initial dollars until they reach that deductible. And as the marketplace has evolved, you're finding that they have what they call these narrow networks with figuring out which hospital will be willing to partner with Medica or with Sunflower or the other providers. And we're seeing narrower networks on the commercial insurance side outside of the marketplace too. So I don't want us to pretend that this is only an issue for people buying on the marketplace. But it does come with real disruptions to care if you've already established with a provider. And so I don't downplay that. Unfortunately, this is kind of the new reality of the insurance marketplace.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. That was the voice of Dr. Bridget McCandless, President and CEO of the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. We are also joined by Molly Moffitt, Program Manager for the Community Health Council of Wyandotte County, and Jim Torres, an Affordable Care Navigator with the Samuel U. Rogers Health Center. That magic phone number, again, is 211 here in the metro to get connected and get the process started, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how to get connected with a school in Kansas City, Missouri that your kids might actually like, and you too. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And we are back. I'm Steve Kraske. On yesterday's show, we analyzed Tuesday's election results, both locally and nationally. Plus, we heard from an award-winning local researcher about her work to make microbes less antibiotic resistant. You can find those conversations at kcur.org. Monday on the show, Dr. Wes Crenshaw is back for a conversation about divorce. We'll talk about what it means for households with children and how an intervention called co-parenting consultation can help. Well, you may not know it, but in Kansas City, there's no lack of choices for where to send your kids to school. The image of married couples leaving the city once they have kids for better schooling is no longer as true. There are, after all, charter schools and neighborhood schools and private schools and even signature schools. In fact, the average kindergartner faces 30 possibilities for where to go to school. This weekend, school officials will be on hand to help families navigate the available choices when they host the second annual City School Fair. Now a conversation about that fair and this important decision. With us is Tricia Johnson. She's Executive Director of Show Me KC Schools. Tricia, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Melissa Horak-Hearn also joins us via Skype. She attended a fair last year and found a school match for her son. And Melissa, thanks for joining us, even though you're not feeling super terrific. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
For parents out there, if you have a question about what schools are available in your Kansas City neighborhood, give us a shout. We've got people here who can help. Our number, 816-235-2888. Tricia, I thought tough school choices were reserved for parents trying to figure out where to send their kids to college, not elementary school.
Yeah, that's right. If you live in the Kansas City Public School boundaries, this district is really unique where your zip code doesn't dictate where you go to school. So as you noted, the average kindergartner has almost 30 public school choices.
That's breathtaking to me. And just to clarify real quickly, are we talking about the Kansas City, Missouri School District or just the entire city of Kansas City?
We are talking about the Kansas City, Missouri School District. So we define that as roughly the river to about 85th Street and about state line to 435.
Yeah. Melissa, how confusing, how bewildering can this process be when it comes to connecting a kid to a good school?
I'm a professional researcher by training, by education, by nature, and it was completely overwhelming for me. It was easy to find the information, but it was really hard to compare information, and it was even harder to get a real sense of what the atmosphere of the schools themselves were like.
So how did you end up figuring that out, Melissa?
I went to the school fair. I had done tons of research, and so I knew what we as a family wanted out of our school. And I knew that there were a lot of things that were offered out there, but I didn't know what was going to fit us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only do so much with websites and pamphlets and things like that. But at the school fair, I got to talk to representatives, not just administrators or teachers, but even families and students from these schools. And so I really got to know what the life of that school was like.
Huh. Where did you end up, can I ask?
Yeah, we're at Holiday Montessori. We're very, very happy to be at Holiday Montessori.
Where is it and why do you like it?
Holiday Montessori is one of the Kansas City public signature schools. It's sort of the sister school to Border Star, but it's tucked away in the woods over just south of Swope Park off of Jackson. We like, frankly, everything about it. We were interested in a Montessori program, and they certainly offer that. We were interested in a place that could be our school home, some place that we could stay throughout our son's elementary school career and feel well supported, not just academically, but holistically.
Hmm.
And that's certainly something that we found there.
Tricia, this is new to me. What's a signature school?
Signature schools used to be magnet schools. And so
it's a fancy new name.
It is a fancy new name. And they typically have specialized themes like Holiday Montessori. So we have Montessori schools, language immersion schools, international baccalaureate schools. Was formerly known as magnet schools are now signature schools with special themes. And they do have a limited number of seats.
Yeah.
In these schools.
You know, Tricia, Melissa, you said when we began our conversation that you knew there were a lot of choices out there. Did you know it was going to be as confusing as it is? Because hearing you talk about it reminds me of looking for my kids to go off to college. I mean, that's what it sort of resounded like to me.
Steve, it was worse for me. It was absolutely terrifying. And people think I'm joking when I say that I started calling schools to see about waiting lists the week after I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
I mean, especially when it comes to preschool and kindergarten and the early education, it's really hard to find good, solid, accredited academic options, particularly for working families.
And so you were looking
We're comfortable, but we're certainly not in a position that we can afford to pay for school for our son at a Montessori school. So particularly finding a public Montessori option for us was just mind-blowing.
So you were looking for a program even 3 or 4 years down the road, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that the smart way to go about it? Would you advise that to people who might be listening?
You have to at least have it in mind.
Wow.
Especially if you want to stay in the city, and that was important to us. It was very important to us that we stay in the neighborhood that we're in. We're in the eastern half of the 4963 neighborhood.
Sure.
We wanted to stay here, and we really were leaning towards a public option because we're product of public schools. We've got public school teachers in our family, and public schools are something that we really feel like should be well supported, and so it wouldn't make sense for us to not have our son in one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but without the school fair, we wouldn't have known what options were open to us.
If our listeners have questions about getting connected to a good school in Kansas City, Missouri, give us a shout, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Well, Tricia Johnson, again, your executive director of Show Me KC Schools, you're all about trying to help parents get connected here. How can they get connected? How would you advise them to get the process started here?
Right. So I myself, like Melissa, I'm also a parent in the Kansas City public school boundaries. And so Show Me KC School started because, exactly like Melissa said, it can be overwhelming without good information. So we have a website with information about all of our schools. And so we're pretty unique in the fact that we don't work for the district. We don't work for charter schools. We don't work for private or parochial schools. We say we work for families. Hmm. And we know that there's not one right school for every family. And so we want to share information about all of our school options.
How are you funded?
Yeah, so we are funded mostly through foundations. The first couple of years we had a fundraiser, and that was about 25% of our operational costs. We're really small. But yeah, it's all private funding.
Well, it's a pretty handy website. I was dancing around on it last night. This is pretty practical information, right? You can find out what schools are nearby where you live. You can compare schools. Describe it to
us. Yeah, you can type in your address and see which schools. You can say, you know, I want to find schools at a 1 mile radius. You can search them by elementary, middle, high school, by district, charter, private, and parochial. You can look up test scores. You can look up enrollment dates, FAQs. So yeah, so that is one key place where we'd encourage parents to go. Just this week, we actually launched a printed guide as well. We know that there is a digital divide in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And even if parents do have access, you know, to internet on their phone, navigating over 90 schools on a phone is a lot. And yeah. So we're excited to now have a complement to our website, which is a printed guide. And then the school fair that Melissa's been referencing that we're going to host tomorrow is just another really great step to getting connected with school representatives and, as Melissa said, with parent representatives as well. And some schools bring students as well that can talk about their own journey. And then the final piece of that school search journey that we really encourage parents to take advantage of is getting inside of schools. Mm-hmm. And so we do have school tours, and we work with early childhood centers on those. And then we also have some just for community members as well that are interested in learning more about our schools.
Well, let's get some practical information out there then. What's your website again?
It's www.showmekcschools.org.
And if someone wants to get the printed copy of the booklet you just mentioned, they can get that how?
Yes, they can come to our school fair tomorrow from 10 to 1 at the Central Library. And all of the library branches will also have copies of this printed guide as well. And we're hoping to have it more widely distributed in community centers going forward.
That city school fair will be on Saturday again from 10 to 1 at the Central Library, downtown Kansas City, 14 West 10th Street. There's also a KC Schools community tour on Wednesday from 8 to 2. Registration is required at showmekcschools.org. And that tour will give you what, a look at the school?
Yeah, those tours are really unique. We typically see two KCPS schools and two charter schools. We start with a little history of education in Kansas City, or an overview of our landscape. We visit all four schools and talk with principals and students, and then usually the conversations end with a lunch discussion with Dr. Bedell, our superintendent, and Mary Holland, the mayor's education advisor, and a representative from the charter schools.
One of the motivations for all of this, if I understand right here, Tricia, was that the district was getting tired of parents sort of throwing up their hands and assuming there wasn't a school that was a good fit for their own kids, their own families. And the argument from you guys is there very well may be, right?
Absolutely. I think for years we've made generalizations about our schools, and we know that we have a lot of really great schools. And so we are trying to encourage parents to get as much information as possible to make well-informed decisions. And as I mentioned, to get inside schools.
Okay, that website again is showmekcschools.org, right? That's the key thing here. Just real quick before I go to some calls here, I'm wondering, Melissa, how helpful was this website and this organization for what you were trying to do?
Immensely helpful. It gave me the basis that I needed to be able to start my research, because I was able to go to, say, early childhood centers and just pull up all of the places that offer preschool, of the schools that offer preschool, or like the Missouri Preschool Project or any of those programs. So I could start with a list that I could then, you know, run down that and see who had the features that we wanted. I don't know how long it would have taken me to collect all that information on my own.
Right. Okay, again, if you're looking for information on how to get connected with a Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri School District, give us a call, 816-235-2888. Sam from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My question is, I see that there's plenty of options for kids who are typically developed. However, I have a child with dyslexia and has an IEP. Are these accommodations addressed at the fair?
Yeah, I would encourage you to talk with the school representatives at the fair. I know that all of our public schools are supposed to do their very best to accommodate children who do have learning disabilities and to make sure that they are serving their IEPs as best as possible. So I would definitely encourage you to talk to each of the schools.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck with you, Sam. I appreciate it. Do all school districts have these same kinds of programs?
Yeah. This is a really unique, I think, Show Me Casey Schools, the organization and also school fair. As far as I know, it's the only school fair in the entire state of Missouri that brings together, again, our charter schools and our district schools and our private schools and our parochial schools.
Okay. Let's go to Heather from Kansas City, Kansas. Heather, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Just calling because we are residents of KCK and had a really difficult time of finding alternative options for us. We did end up finding a great school, but I have a lot of friends in the area that just have that same struggle and wondering if there was any hope that Show Me KC Schools was going to start on the Kansas side.
Can you expand here? You're already getting demand from the Kansas side of the state line, Tricia. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, the majority of our school options are here in Kansas City, Missouri, the school district. So this is the only school district where we have charter schools and where we have these signature schools. And so this is the school district where we really are faced with multiple options, and we just don't have quite the same number of options in surrounding school districts.
Yeah, I bet there are people out there. Heather, does that answer your question?
Well, it answers my question, but not necessarily provide a solution to the problem, because there are a lot of people in the Kansas side that aren't happy, or it's just not a right fit to go to their public schools. And we were lucky and found community school number one, which is a one-room schoolhouse my kids go to. And I'm so fortunate because I just happened upon it. And I wonder how many other people are out there that really could use the help, because it is hard to research.
Sure. We definitely empathize. It is hard to research schools, and maybe someday we'll expand. Right now, our focus is just here. But we'd love to keep talking about it.
Well, and I have contacted you guys, and you've been very awesome. So I hope that we can forge that way in the future, because it would be great.
All right, Heather. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, at the top of the show, we were talking about this idea, Tricia, that there are as many as 30 options for kindergartners out there. Help me with that. I mean, I grew up in an era when you walk down the street to your neighborhood school, 30 options for a kindergartner. What does that look like?
Right. And that's counting your neighborhood school option is just one school option. And so we just have so many charter schools. And again, referencing those KCPS signature schools. So you can live anywhere in the school district boundaries and apply to a charter school or one of those signature schools. So you don't actually have to live in the neighborhood, which then just opens up the options immensely.
Do parents who live near a school, do they get priority to go to that school? Is there a neighborhood connection any longer? Or how does it work?
For sure. We still definitely have our neighborhood schools. And that's definitely, we always encourage parents to first look at your neighborhood school and see if that would be a good fit.
But only some neighborhoods have schools nearby.
Only some have schools nearby, but everyone has a neighborhood school.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live in the school district boundaries, know that you do have a neighborhood school. And actually, at our fair, we are going to have a KCPS table that parents can go to and first find out, okay, what is my neighborhood school? Because that is a really important part of your journey. And then to explore what the other options are as well.
So a first step for anybody might be to figure out what's your neighborhood school and then check that school out then.
Right. And then you can start the journey of whittling down the other options as well, which would be the charters and the signatures and the private and parochial schools.
Melissa, I'm wondering if you came across lots of other parents who were struggling in the same way you were as you got into this process a year ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I ended up handing out a lot of advice, kind of the blind leading the blind. I handed out the Show Me KC Schools website address like it was candy. And, you know, we were all dutifully discussing what options we had found on that. But yeah, I definitely felt like I was kind of the blind leading the blind, trying to help other parents who didn't know what options they had, or if they had options beyond the neighborhood school, or, you know, how the process for applications to charter and signature schools work and that sort of thing.
What about the application process for a charter school? Is that, what's that involve here, Tricia?
Yeah, most of the charter schools have an application deadline. And so you would submit your application by that deadline.
What is a deadline, just roughly?
You know what? We've got about 24 different deadlines.
It varies.
It varies quite a bit. But you want to make sure you get your application in by that deadline. There's no advantage to getting it in early, because they do typically, if they have more applications than they have seats available, then that's when they'll have a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they'll just randomly draw names and they'll fill up their seats with the first people they draw, and then everyone else will be put on to a waiting list. So I think that's another really key thing about going to the school fair and finding out, when are these application deadlines and what is the application I need and who do I submit it back to? Because it is, like Melissa said, it's a confusing journey.
You know, it's not lost on me that we're talking here about a school fair on Saturday, a community schools tour next Wednesday. You're here in the studio today. This is only November. And why are we doing this now?
I know it. You know, signature schools, they start enrolling in early December.
Okay.
I know. And then we have high schools as well that will be coming to our fair. And those application processes often start as early as December. And we do include private and parochial schools, and sometimes theirs are a little bit earlier. But our charter schools start enrolling as early as January.
And Melissa, certainly that one of your messages here today has been, you got to get going, got to get cracking. Don't sit around and wait on this stuff.
Definitely, but don't drive yourself crazy with it. You're going to find the school that works for you. Even if you don't find it on the first try, you're going to find something that works for you.
Hmm. I'm wondering if you guys thought about having fairs on other Saturdays at various library branches for those who may not have transportation means to the central library?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's interesting. When we first launched these, we started them as, we call them school swaps. We just got parents together that were all on a similar journey to find the right school for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then from those, we realized, you know what? We actually want to talk to parents who have their children enrolled in these schools. So then we called them parent-to-parent school fairs. And those were a little bit more neighborhoody. So we had one at the Bluford Library. We had one at Rockhurst University at their community center.
Sure.
We had one at Mohart. But then we realized, you know, we really want all of our families to come together from all of our neighborhoods and all of our schools. And there's just so much energy that can be had when we're all realizing that we're in this same search together. And so that's when we decided, you know, we need a partner. And so we contacted the Kansas City Public Library, who is just, you know, they do such high quality programming and such a natural partner, the same footprint as us. And so that's why we decided, you know, Central Library, and it's on major bus lines as well. It's on the streetcar. So that would be a highly accessible location and, again, a trusted venue for all.
Again, the key website here for Show Me KC Schools, showmekcschools.org. The school fair is on Saturday from 10 to 1 at the Central Library, 14 West 10th Street. Tricia Johnson, Executive Director of Show Me KC Schools, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Melissa Horak-Hearn, thanks for sharing your story as well. I sure appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Feel better soon.
Do go to that school fair. The energy there is going to be amazing and uplifting. You will enjoy it.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. On Monday's show, we talk with psychologist Wes Crenshaw about the holiday uptick in divorces. Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, Kathleen Pointer, and Justin Garnett produced this show. Have a great weekend, all. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.